Together, we are making a difference. We'll tell you how we can join together to push back against Google and YouTube.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, today is going to be a very important broadcast. I'm not talking about the hurricanes, not talking about immigration, not talking about North Korea. I want to talk from my heart to each of you, you and me together, how we can make a difference in this generation. It says in Acts 13 about David that he served the purpose of the Lord in his generation. I want to talk to you candidly about what we can do together to make a real difference in hearts and lives across America and around the world. So give me your best ear. And with your permission, I'm going to open up my heart and be totally candid with you today. You know, I've mentioned this several times over the years, but this has happened often. I'll be walking out of a grocery store near where I live, walking out of a grocery store, and someone walking towards me in the parking lot with a big smile on his face or a big smile on her face. It's the smile of someone that's known you for years, but I have no idea who they are. I've never seen their face before. And it's the big smile, like from an old family member or friend. And I know what's coming next. I listen to you on the radio every day. You see, there's kind of a family thing that gets built up. And maybe you're listening right now on radio. Maybe you're watching right now as we're live streaming on Facebook. But I want you to give me a thumbs up. If I've earned your confidence and I can speak to you from the heart, give me a thumbs up. You can probably post a thumbs up on Facebook Live or a thumbs up as you're driving in your car. These days, many businesses, organizations, ministries are being challenged by the internet. For example, if you're a newspaper and for decades you made your income by people buying the newspaper and then advertising in the newspaper. And now most people are getting it online, and most people can just access what information they want online. It makes it very hard for you to pay your bills. Now in ministry, we look at this as an incredible opportunity to get a message out to the maximum number of people. Here's what I'm thinking about, and trust me, my team will tell you, how can we get more stuff out free? How can we get more stuff out to reach more people? How can we touch more people with radio, with video, with writing? What can we do to get more stuff out to touch more people? That's what I burn with 24/7. Then the second question is, how do we pay for it? Because we're here to minister to you. We're here to serve you. We're here to impact you. We're here to be literally your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So we're constantly looking at this. And when there are ways where you can partner online, say Google has something called Google Ads, and maybe you print articles on your website, and then you have these ads that appear here and there. Well, for every time the article is read or looked at, you get a certain amount of money from Google. We haven't done that, but other organizations have. Well, one conservative organization just got told by Google, we will stop funding you. In other words, there will be no advertising income on your website unless you pull a particular article that we don't like. And the article was a fine article. Censorship. And then on YouTube, we monetized our videos. And that means that an ad comes up. It's not going to be some racy, sinful ad. Some ad comes up, right? And after 5 seconds, you click to skip the ad. And you get fractions of a penny for each time it's viewed. But if something is viewed hundreds of thousands of times or millions of times, then this can generate income. And for us as a ministry, that goes right back into funding more ministry work, supporting our workers around the world, and producing more material for you. So that doesn't go in our pockets because we're a nonprofit. It goes back into ministry. So when YouTube treats us unfairly and unethically, and then basically says this is acceptable and this is not, or doesn't even tell us what's acceptable and what's not, it makes it very difficult for us to do what we're doing. We have a plan. And together, friends, we're making a difference. I'm going to take you behind the scenes, tell you what's happened with YouTube and us, show you graphically when we come back.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. All right, give me your best year. I'm going to explain this as clearly as I can. And if you are watching on Facebook Live, I'm going to give you some graphics in front of your eyes so you can see what's happened with us and YouTube. Now, you might say, Mike, what does it matter? YouTube's a private company owned by Google, a massive company. It can do what it wants to do. It doesn't have to monetize anything except for the fact that it makes business arrangements with providers. In other words, we are creating the video content. We are working hard to get it out. We're using YouTube as a platform to reach the maximum number of people and also to reach those who don't agree with us and don't believe what we believe. So we're using YouTube for those purposes. And YouTube is then profiting by using our videos for advertising. And we get the tiniest fraction of that that we can then put back into ministry to reach more people. That's why we do what we do. That's why we're on radio. That's why we're speaking. We want to stir hearts. We want to change lives. We want to set captives free. We want to bring clarity where there's lack of clarity. We want to bring truth in the midst of chaos and darkness. So YouTube gives guidelines, and they tell you, as a provider, here's what we're looking for. Here's what is unacceptable. So let's take a look at clip number one. Clip number one, this is YouTube. This is content that they put up, all right? Hateful content. They're telling you, don't use content like this if you want your video to be monetized, all right? So it says this, hateful content. Video content that promotes discrimination or disparages or humiliates an individual or group of people on the basis of the individual or group's race, ethnicity, or ethnic origin, nationality, religion, disability, age, veteran status, sexual orientation, gender identity, or other characteristics that is associated with systemic discrimination or marginalization is not eligible for advertising. Content that is satire or comedy may be exempt, however, simply stating your comedic intent is not sufficient, and that content may still not be eligible for advertising. All right, so what's the point here? The point is that you can see where this is leaning, you can see where it's going, but it's still telling you if it is doing this, if it's promoting discrimination or disparaging or humiliating an individual or group of people on the basis of the individual group's race, ethnicity, goes on, then it's not going to be acceptable for advertising. All right, fine. Are you telling me then that I cannot respectfully explain why I don't believe that marriage is the union of any two people? Well, I believe it's the union of a man and a woman. Are you telling me that that's not suitable for advertisers? Are you telling me I can't put up a testimony of someone who's been wonderfully set free by the gospel and is now living a new life? I can't put that up. How is that disparaging others or humiliating others? So I want you to see how crazy this can get. Clip number two. So if you're listening, I'm going to break this down. If you're watching, you'll see this in front of your eyes. Clip number two. This, again, is from our YouTube channel. Here are three different videos, each one viewed 23 or 24,000 times, and between them, hundreds and hundreds of comments. The first one, a former lesbian shares her joy in Jesus. All right? Is that disparaging anyone? Is that humiliating anyone? Discriminating against anyone? This is a wonderful story from a young woman glowing with love and excitement. All right. What does YouTube say? Not suitable for all advertisers. You have to specially request a review. How about the next one? Can a divorced Christian remarry? What, we're just talking about doctrine and how it applies to lives and giving a compassionate answer as biblically based as we can. How in the world is that discriminatory or hateful? But there you see, not suitable for all advertisers, request review. What? Well, how about this next one? Dr. Brown talks with an Orthodox Jew who believes his deceased rabbi is the Messiah. Who's that discriminating against? Who's that mocking? I'm talking with a religious Jew and he's presenting his view and I'm explaining why I differ with him. That's also not suitable for all advertisers. And what we began to see was the moment our video was posted, hadn't even been reviewed, hadn't been looked at, it was immediately flagged. In other words, the moment the thing went up, YouTube had our channel flagged. to say videos on the Ask Dr. Brown channel are not suitable. Now, we have a plan, friends. We're pushing back. And together, with your help, we're going to make a massive, massive difference. But here, let me give you another example. Clip number 3. You tell me, please, somebody tell me how this is discriminatory, how this is hateful, how this disparages another group, how this is mocking someone or pushing against them because of their ethnic background or something like that. Look at this. Dr. Brown debates Dr. Gary DeMar on Israel and the Church. Yeah, that's not suitable for all advertisers. It's been viewed over 27,000 times. Not suitable for all advertisers. Request review. Now, many of these we are requesting review just to see the response we get. And some of them coming by, they're fine, and others not good, not acceptable. God, this is a theological debate. This is a biblical debate between two Christian brothers, between what, two PhDs or whatever it is. This is a theological debate, and YouTube's telling us not suitable for all advertisers. I want you to understand what happened, though. Our YouTube income, which again is turned around directly to go back into ministry, to help us produce more videos, to help us get the message out more, to help us minister more powerfully to more people. Listen, if we made $100 million on videos as opposed to 100 pennies on videos, it would all go back to the same place, back into ministry. And if we didn't need it for our own ministry expansion, we'd give it away to support workers around the world working with the poor and the needy as we support them on a regular basis every single month. That's where we'd go. It wouldn't enrich any of us because we are a nonprofit ministry. So when we see our YouTube video income drop by like 70%, and we're just trying to put this back into more ministry, you better believe we feel it. You better believe that. All right, so number 4, you want to see how inconsistent YouTube can be? Look at this clip. This is clip number 4. And here we have two videos. They are identical in content. Hear me, identical. One audio, one with video enhancement. Identical in content. Laura Loomer confronts the ADL. Now, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, is working with YouTube to work against, you know, discrimination and controversy. So even if something doesn't violate a guideline, they may just flag it like, we don't like this, too controversial. That's dangerous now because they are very much left-leaning, okay? So Laura Loomer confronts the ADL. To our total surprise, that one was accepted to be monetized. But look at it, the identical video, except with audio only, not suitable for all advertisers. Request review. I mean, those watching, you can see this in front of your eyes. How do you even know what's right and wrong then? How do you even know what's acceptable and unacceptable? And if you dare confront or expose the left, if you dare do that, no way, no how. Now, you could expose and confront the right. That's not a problem. That's been demonstrated. But you dare confront and expose the left, oh, you're in big trouble. So look at this. Number 5. This is a video Planned Parenthood CEO Cecile Richards attempt to dismiss viral video backfires. We requested a review on that. It's been viewed almost 90,000 times or over 89,000 times. We requested a review on it. And what does it say? Confirmed by manual review. It is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. It cannot be monetized. Why? Because you're exposing Planned Parenthood, and we don't accept that. Standing with the unborn babies is not important. Standing against the slaughter of the unborn babies is not important. Exposing Planned Parenthood is unacceptable. If you're going to do that, you're not going to be monetized. One more example. How about this one? Number 6, media bias against Israel exposed. This one was viewed over 18,000 times. And it was flagged as unsuitable, not suitable for all advertisers. So we requested a review. And we said, will you look at this again manually? Because it just got flagged immediately, having nothing to do with content, but just get flagged by YouTube for some reason, part of our channel or name Israel or whatever. So they reviewed it. What did we do? We exposed false reporting about Israel, where something happened in a mosque and news said it was a synagogue, where, say, a terrorist and two Jews were killed, the two Jews killed by the terrorist, and the police killed the terrorist, and it says, you know, terrorist among three killed. Instead of saying a terrorist murders two Israelis, we exposed fake headlines, misleading headlines. And YouTube said, not suitable for all advertisers. We reviewed it, and it is not suitable. If you're watching on Facebook, you see there is a link to a GoFundMe page. We've got a two-minute video that explains some of our vision. Go there. Check this out now, all right? And you can stand with us and help us raise our voice. Why? Because we want to get the message out to more people to change more lives without being dependent on YouTube or Google. So with your help, we are going to do this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of today's broadcast. Listen, I'm not frustrated. When I saw YouTube demonetize hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our videos, over 900 that we have online in the Ask Dr. Brown channel, when I saw them demonetize hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our videos, I actually got excited. Just another sign we're doing the right thing. Just another sign we're standing up for truth. Just another sign that God is speaking through us and we are being opposed. And someone once said that more people try to silence you, the more you speak up and speak out. So this has intensified our resolve. You know, when we first did started doing videos on the broadcast, what it was my producer Matt would come in with an iPad, and we were squeezed into this tiny little office. And I was a bigger person then too, so I was squeezed wherever I went. Squeezed into this tiny office with my books all around, and that was basically like the soundproof. You know, my books all around the office, And he'd come in, I'd say, all right, next segment, I want to do something. And he'd come in with an iPad and hold the iPad and shoot me talking. And that was our video production. If you will look, if you're watching on Facebook, there's a link, and I'll give it to you in a moment, the GoFundMe link. We actually have a sped-up version of some of the studio transformation that's been done. You'd be shocked. You'll go into some big studio. I've been in many big TV studios, and they've got crews of scores and scores and scores and scores of people and all these sets and massive production. And we've got 2-3 people working hard behind the scenes in one office to produce quality content, radio, video, day and night to minister to you. And I want to be absolutely candid with you. I believe that every gift that comes in to ministry work is sacred. And when we just launched the GoFundMe campaign a few hours ago, and I looked and saw that money began to come in, I actually started to pray for each person giving, because I'm thinking that's hard-earned money. Someone just gave $100. Someone just gave $25. Lord, we want to use that for your glory. That's how I feel. After all these decades of ministry and preaching around the world for decades, that's how I feel about the money that comes in. Those of you who are monthly supporters, I think that's sacred. That's your money. You're entrusting us with your money to bring the gospel to people, to reach Jewish people with the good news of Jesus, to spark revival in the Church of America, to stand up for truth in the midst of a confused culture, to go to the nations with the fire of God. You're helping us do that, to get out quality apologetics material to speak to many. I take that so seriously. And we pray so seriously, Lord, give us wisdom in using these funds that they'll reach the maximum number of people. And as I'm speaking, just put clip 8 up. For those that are watching, again, this is to our GoFundMe page. And when you go there, you'll be able to stand with us. And every single dime will go exactly as we say, exactly as promised. That's where it will go. And that short video will bless you and inspire you. But let me give you further encouragement. As I've traveled around the world, I am humbled and overwhelmed to run into people from all walks of life, including major international leaders and folks I've never met, home, raising a family, working hard on their jobs. And they all say the same thing to me, often with tears. Kids 12, 13 years old, folks 70, 80 years old. They all say the same thing to me. Thank you for being our voice. Or thank you for being my voice. Or thank you for being a voice. I hear it over and over and over. I was at a meeting in D.C. earlier this year, meeting with leaders, international leaders, discussing the needs of the persecuted church. And it was sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Franklin Graham invited these folks in from around the world. It's a very stirring, inspirational, moving conference. And these folks are coming up to me from different nations. Dr. Brown, I watch all your videos on YouTube. One young man comes up to me, telling me how he's profited from the videos and been so blessed and helped by them. And it turns out that he works directly for, he is the personal assistant for one of the top leaders in the Russian Orthodox Church. He's Russian. I thought, isn't how interesting. It's a world I never really would have intersected with otherwise. And again, we hear this around the world, and it's because we're doing it together. Someone just shot me a note. And friends, I'm giving glory to the Lord, and I'm going to give you personal encouragement about you in a moment. Okay, I've got a word of personal encouragement for you in a moment. So let me just stay with this point here. I have friends just here all the time. Your articles. Thank you for your articles, Dr. Brown. Thank you for speaking out. You're having great influence through your articles. Thank you for being our voice through what you write. I hear it day and night. Well, a few months ago, I discovered something in my journal that I journal daily. If it's just nothing much happening, you know, did good time on radio, went to the store, chatted with Nancy, you know, just nothing going on in particular, that's all that's there. But if something's happening of spiritual significance, if we had great meetings, if I'm praying about something and really feeling tremendously burdened as I'm praying, and you know, that is obviously something that I'll journal as well. So I find these journal entries. January 25th, 2003. I'm praying in New York City. And what do I pray? All in caps, give me a voice. And for years, our number one biggest radio station was right there in New York City. But here it is, give me a voice. Those exact words in my journal. March 25th, 2005. Praying about other things online. Praying about message getting out. And what do I have? All in caps, bold, with an exclamation point. Give me a voice. May 29th, 2005. Here's my journal entry. An impassioned, agonized prayer tonight. God, give me a voice. Because he was giving me things to say and putting burdens on my heart, but I felt I wasn't reaching people. I didn't have an outlet. I didn't have access. He led me to speak on something, but I didn't have a platform. And I pray, give me a voice. February 25th, 2006. God, give me a voice. Praying that for Charlotte. God, give me a voice to unify and call hundreds of thousands to action. June 1st, 2006. I'm praying again, my heart in agony, a burden. God, give me a voice. Same thing, March 2007, May 2010, December 2010, September 2011. And it was only in February of last year that I spotted some of these previous entries, the same prayer over and over and over. And it seemed, Lord, there's more to say. My audience needs to be larger. You've given me a message. Give me a voice to get it out. And now for years, wherever I travel around the world, sometimes lines of people coming up to me saying, thank you for being a voice. I want to encourage you. If you keep crying out, if there's something God's put in your heart, if there's a burden he's given you, if you know there's something he's given you to do, something he's called you to do, and you don't have an outlet, keep crying out. Let him keep working on you and sharpening you and making you more and more and more like Jesus. And then keep crying out and keep crying out and keep crying out and keep crying out. Because I'm telling you, God hears the prayers of the righteous. And I believe that together right now, God is going to amplify our voices. I am here to be your voice. So friends, as we pray together, God is going to amplify our voice to shake this nation for the glory of God. Together, we're making a difference.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Something has happened in our day that is absolutely remarkable. Whether this says something about the parents of this current generation, whether this says something about the young people, whether this says something about the effect of social media, whether this is just the fruit of years and years of narcissism, it's all about me. Something has happened that is beyond bizarre on our college campuses here in America. This is Michael Brown, and you're listening to The Line of Fire. I'm not giving out our phone number right now because I want to concentrate on a special guest that's about to join us, Dr. Everett Piper, who is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And I was doing a debate on a college campus with a rabbi, a campus of about 34,000 students in Georgia earlier this year. And a young man taking classes there said that during finals week, they have coloring books and things like that for students to de-stress. Some of them will have therapy dogs. In other words, kind of like nursery school. Johnny's having a bad day and needs to sit with a coloring book for a little while. But these are college students. And professors are expected to give trigger warnings. They may talk about something in history that may upset someone. You're saying what, on college campuses? Yes. So my guest, Dr. Everett Piper, has a book that is getting a lot of attention these days called Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. Dr. Piper, great to have you back with us on The Line of Fire.
Michael, thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Well, sir, could you explain to us in your own words, I've given my intro, why you came up with this title, Not a Daycare? I mean, aren't colleges and universities as far from daycare as night is from day?
Well, they should be, and that's indeed what I'm confronting. Actually, the title goes back to an op-ed I wrote about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, as you've introduced me. It's a conservative Christian institution. No one could possibly enroll here without knowing that we stand for the primacy of Christ, the priority of Scripture, the pursuit of truth, and the practice of wisdom, our mission statement. But in spite of that, during a chapel 2 years ago, which was on 1 Corinthians 13,
the love chapter.
Love chapter of the Bible,
yeah.
of the Bible, I had a kid come forward after the homily on love and say that he was offended. He was offended that he'd been singled out and made to feel guilty. And my response was essentially this. Young man, that feeling of discomfort you have, it's called your conscience. You might want to attend to it. And if you expect me to coddle you and comfort you rather than confront you, you're in the wrong place. And then I concluded by saying, my land, this is a university, it isn't a daycare. Well, that op-ed went viral. About 3.5 million people read it, and it led to this book and this conversation. The university should be a place where your character is challenged, not where your immaturity is comforted.
Yeah, and I was one of those that read that article and said, amen, and someone is speaking out. So we want to find out how we got where we are today. But are you finding, sir, we've got a minute before the break, that you are somewhat of a lonely voice in academia these days?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Sadly, yes. There aren't very many professors or presidents out there that want to call a spade on this issue. Most are running and hiding. They've created this monster. We've created this monster. The academy has created this narcissistic beast that's turning around to bite us. And many of them, most of them, don't know what to do. So they're hunkering down and they're hiding rather than stepping forward into this mess and confronting these kids with a call for maturity rather than allowing them to demand their Play-Doh and bubbles and puppies and coloring books in their counseling centers.
Yeah, so it's almost like when a child is having a tantrum, you as a parent, rather than dealing with the child wisely, instead give them a lollipop and ice cream so that they won't cry anymore. That's not far from what universities are doing. My guest, Dr. Everett Piper, the book, Not a Daycare. We'll be right back with more.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
New book, Not a Day Care, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth by Dr. Everett Piper, President, Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Dr. Piper, we know that for years now that our universities have been leaning more and more to the left and some to the radical left. Obviously, the great majority of our early universities, first few hundred, founded by Christians and largely for Christian education. But there's been more and more leaning to the left, especially the radical 60s. Many of the radicals from the 60s became the professors and academia leading many of our universities today. But it just seems that things have shifted very dramatically in recent years. And you've got what we call snowflakes and trigger warnings and crazy things happening like Yale University. I mean, major schools. So first, just give some examples, just in case some of our listeners and viewers are not familiar with this. Give us some examples of what's taking place on our campuses.
Well, you're spot on to remind everybody that the American Academy was founded as a Christian educational system. Every Ivy League institution, except for one, was founded explicitly within a biblical worldview, with a Judeo-Christian ethic and a biblical motto and mission. Harvard, mm-hmm. for example, its mission was to lay Christ at the bottom as the foundation of all. But yet we have today, to answer your question, these institutions from Berkeley to Brown to the University of Wyoming, which are shutting down free speech because somebody doesn't like a contrary idea. For example, at Brown, we have counseling centers that have Play-Doh and bubbles and coloring books and crayons and videos of frolicking puppies so that students can avail themselves of these counseling centers when they feel under stress at such times like finals week. We actually have a situation at Emory where during the campaign season, somebody wrote with chalk on a sidewalk the name of one of the presidential candidates. Well, it happened to be a candidate that the students didn't like. And therefore, they demanded that the president feel their pain and provide counseling and remediation for them because of the name of a presidential candidate being on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. We have a situation at University of Wyoming, which also has a counseling center with coloring books and crayons and puppies and Play-Doh and bubbles. And Berkeley, let's just go to Berkeley, supposedly the birthplace of the free yep. speech movement, which is shutting down anybody from Ann Coulter to Ben Shapiro or anyone else, probably you or me, if we were called to speak on that campus, we would be yep. unwelcome and we would be verboten and we would be silenced because ideological fascism is prevailing rather than academic freedom.
Yeah, and again, for anyone that thinks we're cherry picking, number one, if it was just one major university in America, that would be enough. You know, Plato and blowing bubbles and therapy dogs, that would be enough. But this is happening at school after school after school. I mean, and you can't even do something like have a meal with an ethnic name or something because that's now appropriating something that belongs to that culture. And there are schools that are changing the menus and the cafeterias and things like that. It's really mind-boggling. And the question is, Dr. Piper, when students go out from the university, they're supposed to be equipped for the real world. So at the real world, when you're having a bad day at work, you can't pull out the Play-Doh. You can't bring in a therapy dog. So how did we get to this mentality, as you say, of coddling rather than challenging and confronting?
Well, you know that Richard Weaver wrote a seminal work in 1948. The title was Ideas Have Consequences. And what was his point? Ideas have consequences. They matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ideas always bear fruit. There's no such thing as value neutrality or ideological neutrality or a neutral idea. Every idea is going to lead to a good place or a bad place. Good ideas, good culture, good church, good community, good corporations, good government, and bad ideas will lead to the opposite. It's kind of like your grandmother said, garbage in and garbage out.
Yep.
She was right. Ideas matter. And why is 1948 critical in Richard Weaver's publication? Because he was looking backward just a handful of years to Hitler, who said, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control the state." Wow. Hitler understood that if you can control ideas, you can control a government, you can control a people. And Weaver was saying we should have been able to see this coming. It was as predictable as the sunrise. And therefore, he's warning us He's warning us, and now we're several decades later, to recognize the fact that when you teach lousy ideas in your classroom, you will have lousy consequences in your culture. And that's what we're seeing in the campus green and in these campus protests today. The chickens are coming home to roost. We've been teaching self-absorption and narcissism for decades, and why are we surprised to see self-absorbed and narcissistic children in our classrooms and in our courtrooms, in our culture, in our churches, and in our corporations?
Yeah, I've said on the spiritual side that the American gospel is, this is who I am, this is how I feel, and God is here to please me. The biblical gospel is, this is who God is, this is how he feels, and we're here to please him. So some of the narcissistic ideas, let's not look just in the spiritual realm, in the gospel realm, but in the natural realm, in the realm of education. What are some of the narcissistic ideas that are being taught, the self-absorbed philosophies that are being taught in our universities?
That feelings matter more than facts. Let's just go after, let's take, for example, the issue of the male-female. We can't even define what a female is any longer, to the point where any time that a dysphoric or delusional male wants to raise his hand on a given day and say, I'm a female, we honor that because that's his feeling, rather than attending to the biology, the physiology, the genetics, and the reality, the factual reality of what a female is. And here's the question we should be asking. How can you be a feminist if you deny the feminine? How can you be pro-woman if you deny that women are real? It's the conservative who conserves the time-tested truths of biology and physiology, the facts of education, who is truly pro-woman today, as opposed to the progressive left, which wants to deny the factual female and therefore take all of her rights away, down to the fact where she doesn't even have her own bathroom any longer.
Right, and there are now universities that want to have tampons and things like that in the men's room because men menstruate too. You think, what? Well, no, you're talking about a woman who believes she's a man that's using the men's room. You have to accommodate that. And if I, as a 19-year-old top male athlete, really deeply believe that I'm a woman, I can now play on the girls' sports team and beat all the girls and win the records and get to the top, and no one can say anything against it. So who's protecting the women there? The ones who identify differences between men and women, or the ones who say, hey, it's your feelings that matter? Now, let's take this a little further. Friends, I'm speaking with Dr. Everett Piper. His new book, which is a must read, not a daycare. Parents get it. College students get it. Educators get it. It's a must read. Pastors also understand what's happening in the culture around us. You can even study things like geography now or history, and it's not a matter of this happened, but how I react to it, how I feel about it. This is in our campuses too, is it not?
Absolutely. You know, I often speak at our Oklahoma Wesleyan commencement, and here is a speech that I give almost every year when I do speak. Today, when you graduate and march across the stage to get your diploma, I am not going to pat you on the back and say, congratulations, you have a degree in opinions. That would be absurd. That would be an insult. I don't care what your opinion is when you graduate for Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I hope you don't care that much about mine. Opinions always lead to bondage and slavery. Pol Pot and Mao and Robespierre and Chavez and Hitler and Mussolini, all the despots of history had opinions, and it didn't end well. Jesus told us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Education should be about pursuing what's true, not propping up your opinion. Opinions and feelings always lead to bondage and slavery and dysfunction. Facts and truth are the only things that give us the true fences, if you will, to quote Chesterton, of freedom. Without the facts of truth, you don't have the freedom to engage in a robust argument and exchange, a robust disagreement, if you will, because power will prevail rather than the principles of truth. There's a reason that Lady Justice is blind. She has to be blind, otherwise she puts her thumb on the scale. And there's a reason that we have to have laws if we want to have liberty and fences if we want to have freedom. It's within that context that we have true liberty, a classical liberal arts education, and without that, we have this ideological fascism that we see on today's campuses.
Yeah, and everything you say there, sir, we could unpack in greater depth. I imagine, though, that even being a Christian university now presents problems, that accrediting associations and things like that could potentially look at you as bigoted or discriminatory. We just got a few seconds before the break, but is that on the horizon, or is that even touching your school already?
Oh, absolutely. I got a letter from the Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights telling me I had to provide transgender accommodations on my campus. And I said, no, I will not do that. I'm Christian. I'm conservative. I believe a female should have her own bathroom, and I'm not going to insult her by suggesting otherwise. By the way, I got an exemption because I stood my ground.
Really? Yeah, friends, a lesson for others. If you capitulate, you've already lost the battle. Stand for what is right, and you'll be blessed either way. Dr. Pipe, would you have just a couple more minutes? I've got one more major question for you.
Sure, sure.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Everett Piper, the new book, Not a Daycare. A must read, really.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest is one of the most courageous Christian voices in the world of academia, Dr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. His new book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. Dr. Piper, last question. Obviously, folks can get the book for the full answer. But what can parents do, educators, individuals? People are frustrated. What can they do to push back here?
Well, first of all, you need to take the problem seriously. And you need to stop sending your kids off to these institutions that teach this pablum. I mean, why in the world would you spend 18 years of your life training up your child in the way he should go so that when he's old, he won't depart? And then in the first 18 minutes, as you drop your kid off at your campus of choice, and you start driving away as he's there for new student orientation, the faculty and staff of that institution take pride in ripping his heart, mind, and soul out. This is a major problem, and you cannot expect your kids to prevail if you're going to drop them off at these indoctrination camps that teach this nonsense. So start voting with your pocketbook, start voting with your feet, and recognize that education matters, ideas have consequences, and if you're going to send your kid to an institution that's antithetical to your biblical worldview and your Christian convictions, he's probably going to come home at Thanksgiving with some pretty lousy ideas. That's advice number one.
Yes,
straightforward,
yes, sir.
There.
Yes, sir.
The second thing I would do is when you start looking at Christian institutions, for example, ask two basic questions. Pull the president aside and ask him just two simple questions. Number one, what is your view of Scripture? Number two, what's your view of truth? Now be quiet and listen. If he says that Scripture is inerrant, infallible, authoritative, immutable, the Word of God, great answer. If he doesn't, it's not because he's stupid and doesn't understand what you ask. He doesn't want to answer you. Second, what's your view of truth? Is truth an objective revelation of God? Is it something that you go out and grasp because it's there, it's real, it's objective, it's outside of us? The measuring rod outside of those things being measured so that we can do some measuring, to quote C.S. Lewis? Or is truth a postmodern construct? Is it just a collection of opinions within the academy and within culture? One answer is a good answer. Truth is real. The other one is a terrible answer, and it isn't worth your money. So what's your view of Scripture, and what's your view of truth?
You know, in a book I have coming out in a couple of weeks, Saving a Sick America, I have a whole chapter on learning to think again and reclaiming our schools, and then also chapter on the entitlement mentality. And I do ask the question, are we sacrificing our children on the altar of academic correctness? Oh, my kid has to go to Harvard. Oh, my kid has to go to Yale. Well, first, there are brilliant professors at Christian universities just as well, and top academics there. But more importantly, they're going to reinforce the truth and the values you poured into your kids in an environment that will challenge them and stretch them, as opposed to somewhere where they'll be away from home, they'll be with kids who are partying, drinking, getting high, sleeping around, and with many professors whose agenda is to impact your kids in different ways than they believe and to try to tear down Scripture and values. So our kid has to go to Harvard or Yale or another school. If they're called there by God, fine. But hear what Dr. Piper is saying. Don't just make that assumption. Put your kids in an environment where they'll learn what they need to learn. They'll be equipped for the world ahead. They'll be challenged and they'll grow. but in a godly environment. Dr. Piper, thank you so much for standing and speaking, and may God back you and vastly multiply the work of your university.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate being on your program.
All right. The book again, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper. Hey, friends, here's what I would ask you to do from my heart. If we are being a blessing to you, if you appreciate this radio broadcast, or if you appreciate this podcast, you know, there are radio hosts, and in order to actually get their podcast, you have to pay for it. Well, they have production costs and things like that, and this is a way of recouping that or helping them stay on the air. I appreciate that. Ours are free. We have thousands of hours of resources on our website, articles, videos, and they're not restricted. Oh, you can buy books or whole courses, but we have thousands of hours. Every week we're putting out new videos every week. I'm writing new articles every week, new radio content. And it's our joy to put it out and to get it to you for free, because that's our burden. That's our desire. I go out and speak in other places to raise funds to help us get the message to you, because I'm not selling something to you. I'm here to minister to you and bless you and help you and strengthen you and equip you. I have profound joy when I hear back from you and you say, Dr. Brown, I've got courage to stand. My 15-year-old's spoken out at school, and we're not backing down, and we're walking in love, and we've gotten courage since listening to you. That is so great to hear. So what I'm asking you to do is stand with us. This is our first ever GoFundMe campaign. There's a video you can watch if you're listening on radio. There's a video that you can watch on the GoFundMe website that'll tell you exactly what we're doing from my heart. And you'll even see whatever it is, I forget what it's called, but when you see a whole several days of video just sped up in a few seconds, we show the transformation of our video studio. Here's where you go. GoFundMe.com/ASKDR Brown Studio. So GoFundMe.com, jot this down. All right, GoFundMe.com/ASKDR Brown Studio. So Ask Dr. Brown Studio. Once more, GoFundMe.com/AskDrBrownStudio. And you'll see exactly where the funds are going to go. And already we are able to do things. We received some generous contributions that have enabled us to do a lot that we couldn't do before. Yesterday, in one straight sitting, I recorded 17 five-minute shows for God TV in a way that we couldn't do before on our Ask Me Anything broadcast there. Our show for Line of Fire TV that airs on the NRB network across the country, that is something that we can produce now in-house in a way that we couldn't before. We've just done now a Facebook Live event enhanced with extra video for the very first time. And trust me, we are doing it with a tiny core staff pouring themselves out. All right. If people that would try to take on what we're doing, they'd literally have 5 to 10 times the staffing and probably 20 times the budget. But we're doing this by faith, and we're stepping out, and we're doing it in quality. So stand with us. If you just want to go to the website and help us with a gift, that's great, AskDrBrown.org. But if you go to the GoFundMe page, you can watch a video there. Or here's what you can do. Do you get my emails? If not, sign up today, because tomorrow we're going to be sending out an email with a link to the video that we put together for GoFundMe that I think will really be helpful to you. And if we just put up for our folks on Facebook, put up clip number 9. There you see. Join with us. GoFundMe. And this is /AskDrBrownStudio. When you see that, that'll take you to a page that will link directly to the GoFundMe page. But if you don't get our email, sign up, because you just heard me talk to Dr. Piper. This is the kind of stuff we're standing up for. This is the kind of stuff we're exposing. This is when he met me for the first time face-to-face last June, he wanted me to know that he reads my articles and appreciated the impact we're making, because we're doing this together. So if you're not getting my emails, sign up today. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Sign up today, and tomorrow you'll hear a very important announcement face-to-face. Friends, together, we're making a difference.